Welcome to Bruce Davis Ministries here on Praise 107.9. You can reach Dr. Bruce anytime at 904-762-3191. That's 762-3191. And now, Dr. Bruce here on Praise 107.9.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to Bruce Davis Ministry. My name is Dr. Bruce Davis, and I'm so glad you're listening to me in this Sunday evening service. And I want to let you know, by way of an announcement, that's right, by way of an announcement, yes, Father's Day, I'm talking concerning Father's Day, I will be speaking in Palatka, Florida, that's right, my hometown, Palatka, Florida, that's right, that's Father's Day. Father's Day morning at 11:15, and the name of the church is To God Be the Glory Holiness Church. That's right. And the address is 3507 St. John's Avenue, Palatka, Florida. I'm going to say it again. I want to invite the fathers out. God have gave me a word for the men, for the fathers. You need to know. I want to invite our listeners. You hear me on the radio, but you say, who is that? Who is Dr. Bruce Davis? I never met him, but I hear his voice on the radio every Sunday. Well, now I'm giving you a chance. That's right. So I'll be speaking at To God Be the Glory Holiness Church, 3507 St. John's Avenue, Palatka, Florida, on Father's Day morning at 11:15 a.m. in the morning. And I want to invite fathers to come on down. Palatka ain't about an hour drive. You can come on down, and God have given me a word for the fathers. So we just thank God for you, and we want to go into the Word this morning. And if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now, again, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And we want to talk about the Beatitudes this morning. We want to talk about the Beatitudes because Jesus was saying blessed. We hear everybody say blessed. How I'm doing? You say I'm blessed. So we're gonna break that word down, blessed. We want to show you what Jesus meant when he said blessed. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. It says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, talking about Jesus. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, okay, now the Lord began to teach. He said, Matthew described the scene in a way that conveys its importance. Jesus preaching about coming of God's kingdom has already gathered large crowds that includes hundreds or even thousands of people. A mountain setting may remind Jesus' hearers of God's giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, Exodus 19. Now Jesus is presenting something like the law of Moses, yet greater. This site may provide a natural amphitheater so that people can hear Jesus teach. Matthew calls the crowd Jesus' disciples. The word means follower or learner. Here it applies to all who seek to follow him, not just those to whom Jesus had extended a special invitation to follow. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 22. It says, and he began to teach them, saying. This little phrase acts like a camera zooming in on one character in a movie. It focuses our attention closely on what Jesus is about to say. To this point in Matthew, readers have heard Jesus utter only a sentence or two at a time. Now he will speak continuously over three chapters. Verse number 3 say, bless are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus began the sermon with a series of statements about being blessed. We may find it hard to describe confidently what this word means. Some translations render it with the more familiar term happy. And see, we're talking about blessed. Everything Jesus said, bless, bless, bless. So we're talking about what it means. And, you know, some people bless, it means to be happy. And so we're seeing right here what it says. He says, some translation render it with the more familiar term, happy. Most people think when you're blessed, you are happy. Okay? But it say, but being blessed is more than happiness. Listen at that. Being blessed, now I'm letting you know, being blessed means more than happiness. It is to experience, listen at that, the approval of favor of God, to receive God's good gift. I'm going to say that again. Being blessed is more than happiness. It is to experience the approval and favor of God, to receive God's good gift. Thus, it makes sense for Jesus to begin his sermon about God's kingdom with statement about blessedness. Jesus' statement in this regard fall into three main categories: neediness, godliness, and persecution. Concerning the first of these, we may wonder how a person can be poor and at the same time be a recipient of God's blessing. The answer seems to lie in the way that the poor are presented in the Old Testament. There we find repeated statement that God will act on their behalf. At the same time, those who call on God for deliverance present themselves as poor and needy. God promises deliverance to those who know their need and call out to him for help. Jesus' statement of blessing is specifically for the poor in spirit. They may indeed be poor materially. Being in a material need can teach us our helplessness, but their outlook is utter reliance on God's power regardless of their material circumstances. These are the people God has always promised to bless. Jesus' statement is an announcement that God's blessing on the needy is about to happen. Verse number 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Oh, somebody mourning right now, somebody going through, somebody done lost a loved one, somebody's hurting. But Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The theme sounded in the first beatitude is repeated in the second. To be in mourning seems to us opposite of blessing, as does the poverty of verse 3. Again, we need to understand the Old Testament to understand the statement. 6 centuries before Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. God's prophet had warned Judah that this disaster was God's judgment for rebellion against God. But they promised that God would restore the nation after the exile, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 2 and 3. Babylon was conquered, and the exiled Jewish people were allowed to return to their homeland. But in many ways, their captivities continued. Their nation remained weak. They were ruled by a pagan empire, and the promised king had not appeared. This is the very situation of the Jewish people in Jesus' time, living under Roman rule. What Jesus' audience mourns then is the ongoing exile condition of the Jewish people. The loss that they grieve is the loss of a nationhood, that means the loss of God's favor on them. But if they truly understand their exile, then they mourn the sin that gave rise to it. The sin that is at the root of all that is wrong in the human condition. Yet the faithful still wait for God to bring restoration that he has promised. That restoration will mean the reversal of sin and its effects. Jesus' statement is an announcement that this promised restoration is beginning. God is about to change the exile condition of his people. But he is about to do it not in an outward political circumstances, but within their own lives and hearts. This will address the sin that makes people alienated from the life that God wants them. How many know sin separate man from God? How many know sin it'll bring it down? Oh, somebody in sin right now, listen to me. How many know that sin, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? How many know the soul that sinneth it shall die? How many know that sin is the problem in this world today? That's right, sin. Yes. And that's what's going on right now. We see so much going on, people shooting and killing and all this kind of stuff. Sin, that's the problem. The heart, you know, your heart is wicked. Sin. But I want you to know that Jesus is the solution to the world's problem. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, you need to ask him to come in and forgive you for your sins. And you need to ask him to come in. And verse number 5 say, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The promise we see here, like the two before it, obviously depends on God's action. The only way that the meek, who by definition have no power, can inherit the earth is for God to give it to them. Psalm 37:11 tells us that what Jesus says is not new. Neither is Jesus' statement about the meek a statement about a kind of a personality. Rather, it is about a position that we voluntarily take. In God's kingdom, Jesus is king. But as king, Jesus surrendered his life. And by doing that, Jesus brings God's greatest power to bear on the world's greatest problem. No wonder then that Jesus promises those who willingly decline to assert their own rights or power that they will share God's rule. Number 6 say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The focus on the people in need continues. Hunger and thirst reminds Jesus' Jewish audience of their ancestors' experience in the wilderness after God liberated them from slavery. God provided manna and brought water out of rocks. Their need was filled by God's own action. In generations since, Israel suffered times of drought and famine. Doubtless many in Jesus' audience know what it is to be hungry and thirsty. But there is something beyond ordinary hunger and thirst of which Jesus speaks. Jesus had been tempted to provide food for himself. Miraculous, but he had replied, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4:4. In the wilderness, God had sought to teach Israel what Jesus repeated to Satan in a temptation. And what Jesus says in this beatitude, the thing for which we ought to be most hungry and most thirsty is not food and water, but God's right way. How many know we ought to be hungry for God? We ought to be want more God in our life. We ought to be trying to walk like Jesus. We ought to be trying to do the things God called us to do. Oh, somebody listening right now, you used to be close to God, but you're not close to God anymore. You used to have a prayer life, but you don't pray no more. Some of you listening used to go to church, but you don't go no more. Oh, somebody out there listening to me, you just done backed away from God. You backed away from everything. You got hurt in the church, or you got church hurt, or something happened and caused you to back up. But God wants you to repent. He wants you to turn around. He wants you to get up from there. God wants you to get right and repent and go on back to church. Find your church home. God wants you to get it right. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. The Lord is speaking directly to you. And you know who I'm talking to. Oh, somebody listening out there, you know you've just been going through so much. And you're saying, Lord, well, I need you to help. God said, listen, you don't stop. You don't back away from him. You don't stop praying. Some of you used to have a prayer life. You don't stop praying. Some of you used to fast. Some of you used to read your Bible, and you don't even do it no more. Oh, I want you to know God said, repent and come back home. God got his arms wide open. He's waiting on you, my friend, to come back. It says right here, Jesus said in the Beatitude, the thing for which we ought to be most hungry and most thirsty is not food and water, but God's right way. Those who have longed to see God's way triumph in the world, beginning with their own lives, are those whom God will now bless. Number 7 say, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God's mercy has an implication for those who receive it. They too must show mercy. If they don't, God's mercy can be withdrawn from them. James chapter 2:13. Those who do not show mercy may thereby reflect that they have never really grasped God's mercy to them. Those who live under God's rule in his kingdom are under the mandate to become like the God who rules over them. Because God has been merciful to them, it is unthinkable that they should be unmerciful to others. How many know God wants us to be merciful to others? Listen, when God saves us and he blesses us, and like he did me, brought me out, and I got to be merciful. Try to help somebody. Try to do something for somebody. And this is what it's all about. God have blessed some of us. Some of you listening right now, you can help people. You can help more people. But you won't do it. You say, well, I ain't giving nobody nothing. You say, I'm going to hold on mine. I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to put up something for next. But how many know you got to help somebody? God didn't bless you for you to just sit on and do nothing. God wants you to help. Feed the hungry. Go to the hospital. Visit this hospital. Go to the jail. Visit the jail. Try to do something. Try to help somebody. Tell somebody your testimony, what God done for you. It's all about getting busy. It's all about helping somebody. It's all about telling somebody about the Lord. Have mercy on somebody. God had mercy on you. Oh, I want somebody out there listening, that you listen to this broadcast. I want you to know that God loved you. And this is not no accident why you listening to this radio broadcast. Oh, I want you to know that God is speaking directly to you, letting you know that you need the Lord in your life. You're trying to do it on your own. Some of you listen out there, you're just going through so much. If it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't the bills, it's the children. If it ain't the children, it's something else. There's always something. We all have problems. But God was saying to give it to him. God said, you done turned away from him. God trying to get your attention and bring you back to him. It says God's mercy has an implication for those who receive it. They too must show mercy. If they don't, God's mercy can be withdrawn from them. Those who do not show mercy thereby reflect that they have never really grasped God's mercy to them. Those who live under God's rule in his kingdom and under the mandate to become like the God who rules over them, because God has been merciful to them, is unthinkable that they should be unmerciful. How many know we got to show mercy to other people? Verse number 8 say, blessed are the pure in heart. I love that. For they will see God. I think I'm going to say that one again. Number 8. We're talking about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know about you, but I want to see God. I want my heart to be pure before God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It says the Mosaic law rules about clean and unclean, govern the lives of those in Jesus' audience. The regulations are designed to teach the people that their God, unlike pagan gods, is utterly pure. So those who belong to him must be pure themselves. That's Psalms 24:3-4. Now Jesus is stressing the real meaning of purity before God. In God's kingdom, God rules both over things that can be seen and by all and over things that God alone can see. Men may judge by outward appearance, but God judges the heart. Listen at that. Man look on the outward appearance, but how many know God looks at your heart? God looking at your heart right now. Oh, somebody listen to me. I want you to know God. See, what is God looking at? You know what's in there. What is God looking at? Is it pure in the heart? Is it sin? What is it? What is God seeing? Your heart. God knows what's in your heart. He know. He made you. But you need to repent and get it right and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm tired of doing wrong. I need to make a change in my life. I need to do something different. Because what I'm doing ain't working. How many know God loved you? All you got to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. Come into my heart, Lord. Change me. I don't want to be like this. And he will. It says, but God judges the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. So in God's kingdom, purity must not just be on the outside, but on the inside. Isn't there something? Purity not just on the outside, but your inside got to be clean. In the heart where God sees alone. That kind of purity is the goal of everyone who belongs to God's kingdom. People who know their own neediness will realize that they have not measured up to that standard of purity. So Jesus' statement reminds his followers that they continue to need mercy. Ultimately, their hearts will be pure only because God will make them pure by his gracious power. The blessing pronounced on the pure in heart is that they will see God. Number 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called, what? Sons of God. From the beginning, God's promise has been to bring peace between himself and his rebellious people. That, in turn, means that his people will live at peace with each other. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Describing this future, the prophets pictured a kingdom of harmony. Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. As Jesus announced the coming of God's kingdom, that promised peace is about to become real. God is establishing peace among his people. And so his obedient subject must themselves become peacemakers. James chapter 3 and 18. Their goal is harmony with one another, just as God has established harmony between himself and them. The blessing of this beatitude is to be called God's child. As God's people become the agents of his peace in the world, they reveal the world who God really is, being known as his children in their greatest honor. Verse number 20 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteous, for there is the kingdom of God. Oh, nobody want to hear that. Persecution. If God's kingdom is truly coming into the world, we would expect his people to enjoy complete tranquility. Right. After all, they are now blessed, and they're not. But with what Jesus offered here is blessings in the midst of persecution, following God's right way. How many know we supposed to rejoice and thank God? Listen, if you're a Christian and you love God and ain't nobody talking about you, you ain't got no problem, then you better check yourself, cause something wrong somewhere. You always gonna have people who ain't gonna like it. You gonna always have people who, regardless of how nice you be to them, you're going to be somebody just ain't going to like you. And somebody and don't even know you, going to walk up to you and see you and say, I don't like you. And you ain't said nothing, you ain't done. So what? You know, you still got to go on with your life and you got to show love to people. And this is what Jesus was saying. He said, even so, we wonder how the pursuit of righteousness can be maltreated if generally rules over his kingdom. The answer is part of a mystery that Jesus is revealing. The arrival of God's kingdom does not mean that the world is changed suddenly or dramatically. God established his rule in the human heart, calling people into his kingdom with good news of Jesus. I come to tell somebody that's what this ministry is all about. Yes, I come to let you know that whatever going on in your life, whatever your situation may be today, whatever going on this afternoon, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that whatever your situation is, weeping may endure for a night, but how many know that God, amen, how many know joy cometh in the morning? How many know that? And we talking about blessed. Yes, I know you're blessed, but I'm here to encourage you and let you know that whatever you're going through right now, God is bigger than your problem. That's right. And listen, I want you to, for prayer, I want you to call me. That's right. Call my number. That's right. 904-762-3191. That's right. Call me. And if you're out there, you're not saved, let me pray with you right quick. Father, we thank you for the one out there, God, that's not saved. We ask you, God, to save them, Lord. Let them repent, God, and say, Lord, forgive me. Repeat after me if you're not saved. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross. And on the third day, God raised you from the dead. And right now, I ask you to come into my heart. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's right. Thank you. Call me. Let me know. That's right. Amen. I'm giving you my phone number because I want to hear from you out there. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. I know you listen every Sunday. I know you be listening. Amen. Amen. God is good. But I want to invite the fathers, women, if fathers, if you don't have anything to do or nowhere to go on Father's Day Sunday. That's right. That's right. At 11 o'clock. In the beautiful city of Palatka, Florida. That's my hometown. That's right. And I'm going to be speaking. That's 11:15. That's Sunday morning. Father's Day Sunday morning. Yours truly, Dr. Bruce Davis. I will be speaking. And the church is, to God be the glory, Holiness Church. And the address is 3507 St. John's Avenue, Palatka, Florida. And if you need more, just give me a call and I'll show you. And you can follow me down in Palatka or whatever. And it's because I want you to go. Some of you that's listening, because some of you say, I hear the voice, but I don't know the face. Well, you get a chance. Come on. It's all about Jesus. But I want to give you, extend you an invitation. That's right. That's right. Father's Day morning. That's right. I'll be speaking. That's right. To God be the glory, Holiness Church, right in Palatka. It's 3507 St. John's Avenue. That's right. Write it down. St. John's Avenue, 3507. Write it down. Get your pen and paper. Write it down so you won't forget. Dr. Bruce Davis will be speaking in Palatka, Florida, beautiful city of Palatka, Florida. That's my hometown. To God be the glory, Holiness Church, 3507 St. John's Avenue, Palatka, Florida. That's right. I don't say it enough times. So call me. That's right. Call me. Amen. If you just need additional prayer anytime, and leave a message on my voicemail, I'll call you back. Amen. I want to be able to pray for you. Because how many know that prayer changes things? Sometimes you just need somebody to pray with you. Sometimes you just need somebody to touch and agree with you. And I don't know about you, prayer changes things. So that's right. The announcer is going to give you the phone number too. But call me if you want to go down to Palatka with me, to the church. Give me a call. Let me know. And you can follow me down there. That's right. To God be the glory, Holiness Church. 3507 St. John's Avenue, Palatka, Florida. That's right. Yes, remember now, every Sunday evening from 6:30 to 7 o'clock, yours truly, Dr. Bruce Davis, will be on here on the all-new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. That's right. Yours truly. So I want you to call me and for prayer. 904-762-3191. That's right. Call me. Let me know if you're coming. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you down there. That's right. God is good all the time. And listen, what I want you to do for me is just to pray for me. I'm not asking you for a dime. I'm not asking you for nothing. All I want you to do is pray for me. Say a prayer. Lord, bless Dr. Bruce Davis. Bless Bruce Davis' ministry, Lord. Bless him as he go forth. That's right. Pray for me. All right. You going to do that for me? That's right. And we just thank God for you. Amen. We just ask you to keep listening. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend. Yeah, tell a neighbor, say, Dr. Bruce Davis be on the radio. That's right, preaching. Because I love you, that's right. I have a job to do. And I love you. Amen. I love you and I thank God for you. Keep listening. Amen. Keep listening. Don't give up. Whatever you're going through, don't throw in the towel. Hold on. Hang on in there. The best is yet to come. That's right. The best is yet to God have greater things for you. Oh, some of you listening to him, you waiting on God. Oh, he's going to do it. And I love you. And I thank God for you. That's right. Amen. Amen. So I want you to come out, if you can, to Palatka. I gave you the address. 3507 St. John's Avenue, Palatka, Florida. To God be the glory, Holiness Church. That's right. You come on out. And I'm going to be looking for some of y'all. Amen. Come on down. Ain't but an hour drive. It ain't that far. Might not be that. Depends on how you drive. Amen. So I'm looking forward to seeing you. Amen. Amen. That's right. And we just thank God for you. Amen. Amen. And you know what? To God be the glory. I give God all the glory, all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye. Love you.
Thank you for joining us for Bruce Davis Ministries here on Praise 107.9. Join us again next week. And if you'd like to reach Dr. Bruce, you can call him anytime at 904-762-3191. That's 762-3191. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next week for Bruce Davis Ministries.